You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 188 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined as always by my mainest man, Willie Saylor. We are back from an incredible week of wrestling at NCAAs in St. Louis, Willie. And coming in this morning, talking some major recruiting news. Gavin Teasdale flips from Iowa to Penn State, Willie.
Yeah, I mean, after the incredible week of wrestling, of course you think we're going to come back and jump right into the brackets and all that was, but it's major news, and it seems to have like a domino effect, and everybody's talking about it right now, you know? Twitter was buzzing last night.
Yeah, it was buzzing for sure, and it wasn't just, you know, fans talking. You got coaches, you got Jordan Burroughs, you've got Brandon Slay, Adam Tirapelli, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
All talking about, I guess, the idea of early verbals, for one, the idea or how they feel about the current state of NCAA wrestling recruiting, mm-hmm. how it's going, not liking the way it's trending. It's trending more towards, mm-hmm. I think, the football, basketball thing where it's not over until they sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, so, you know, it's bigger than just Gavin Teasdale and Penn State and Iowa. There was other ramifications, right? You can go back to Mejia and J-Rent and talk about that. You can talk about the bigger picture in the state of recruiting now. Scott Green tweeted, now that it's legal to contact kids earlier, it has changed the dynamics, to which I said I love every second of it. And it has, right? It has changed things. You can talk to kids earlier. But ultimately, I think people are being a little overly critical. And by people, I mean everybody. Because the response is, the responses are, well, that's what happens when you put too much pressure on a kid. Well, that's what happens when, you know, you're not prepared for the recruiting process. Well, that's what happens when you don't take all your visits. Well, that's what happens when it's too early. Maybe the kid just really thought he wanted to go there and then changed his mind. And you can say, well, then you shouldn't do it if it's a possibility that you change your mind. The divorce rate's 50%, right? I mean, people change their mind, and they have the right to change their mind. And if Gavin Teasdale really, really thought I was the place for me, he spent a whole couple years with Terry and Tom and OTC camps, and Spencer's his good buddy, and that's really, really where I want to be, no doubt in my mind. I verbal there. And then you kind of have second thoughts after that. But at the time, that's where he wanted to be. End of story. Why should he not? I mean, I know that you're, Christian, you are of the opinion, like, what does it benefit? Why does anybody verbal early? It has no benefits to you whatsoever. And I get that. I mean, maybe that should be.
It's true.
Maybe that should be the end all be all. Don't do it. Don't anybody do it. You can't. It doesn't benefit you. But they do get pressure. It benefits the staff most of the time.
Yeah, of course it. Of course it helps the wrestling coaches.
And I don't just.
You have to look out for yourself. You have to look out for the recruit needs to look out for the recruit. The parents need to look out for not be pressured. And I don't think that.
Well,
I don't. Hold on. All right. Yeah, turn. I don't think Gavin was pressured into. I don't think initially Tom and Terry and Coach Morningstar were saying, "Hey, you need a verbal with Spencer." No. I don't think that happened.
I think he
made that decision on his own. But I think there is something to be said for waiting, taking your visits. You know, Mark Hall and Dayton Fix kind of both did the same thing. They took all five of their visits. Okay, they thought that was important. They waited till the end. Now those kids, they have the hammer in that they're going to get what they want financially. But that's not true for every single athlete. So I know Gavin, or for Iowa, Gavin was recruited just as hard, if not harder, post verbal commitment. I think Iowa recognized they were in a fight all along to keep Gavin.
Yeah, well, for sure. But and I understand, just to go back, there is sort of pressure, and maybe not specifically, we're talking broadly here, maybe not specifically in Gavin's case, maybe he wasn't pressured, but kids do get pressured by coaching staffs, one, because they want to start momentum, they want that splash, they want it to be on Flow Wrestling, they want it to be made a big deal because it gives their recruiting class and their recruiting efforts some momentum and some pub and some splash, right? And maybe it didn't. Maybe Gavin wasn't pressured, but kids get pressured not just because they want the splash, but also because it helps them. It helps the coaching staff budget, right? Well, I don't know if I'm getting this kid, so I need to know what my finances are. There, absolutely 100%. There has been kids that have been told, "I need an answer by this date."
Yeah, that happens a lot.
That happens
frequently. That's not the first. I mean, I've heard that multiple times. You have till this date. You know, they try to. Schools try to do that with Dayton. Hey, you got 2 weeks. What?
They did it with
numbers.
Several schools did it with Luke Bletcher.
Yeah, you have to listen. No, I'll probably just. It's kind of an empty threat, really. Really? I'm not going to be able to come otherwise?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a little predatory.
To your point, I maybe it's predatory. I don't think it's predatory because.
Maybe
I have to figure out my finance. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay my electric bill. I got a budget for the future. My kid has a camp next week. I get it. I don't think it's predatory. Anyway, to back to your point about
mortgage?
I don't own a home. No, that was fake news.
I don't know what you're talking about. A mortgage.
Prices are way too high.
You need to cut it.
Okay. Back to your point about Gavin being recruited hard even after he verbaled. Inevitably, there's going to be when anyone decommits from one school, commits to another school, there's going to, the school that they commit to now, it's going to be said of them that they stole them. They recruit. Is it ethical to recruit a kid after he verbaled and this and that? Listen, there's a lot of people, message board weirdos, saying that, you know, Kale was underhanded and continuing to recruit Gavin. I don't know if Kale even. Gavin was swayed a lot by the kids on Penn State. Who was in Gavin's corner for who's number one? Jason Nolf.
Yeah.
Okay. He's close to a lot of that. He's close to McCutcheon, right? I don't think that Kale had to do much, if anything. And ultimately, I'll tell you this. What it came down to is Gavin wanting to stay in Pennsylvania.
Well, I'll say that I don't think, even if Kale and company were continuing to recruit, I mean, I think they probably were. I think it's probably likely that they were recruiting him. But that's true for every school. You know how many guys have been recruiting Roman Brovin Young and Travis Whitlake throughout post Penn State verbal. Mm-hmm. It's been happening consistently. Coaches are going after those guys. So that's just the way of this.
It's the way it is.
Recruiting business.
I think Harbaugh came out and said, "I will always," because Big Ten had this gentleman agreement. Kyle, am I right on this?
Yeah.
The Big Ten had to tell people about it.
Well, they had an agreement that, you know, once a, it was kind of like a gentleman's agreement that once a kid was committed to another Big Ten
verbal
school, yes, they would leave him alone. And Harbaugh, like, immediately came in and was like, "I'm not doing that," and pissed everyone off.
I ain't doing that.
I'm pretty sure Urban Meyer is the same way, too. I'm pretty sure when he
Urban
came
Meyer
on, he's
will
like,
do anything to get a kid.
Yeah. And I don't blame. I mean, that's what I would totally do that. I don't care. It's within the rules. I'm not cheating. I want the best. My job, if I'm a coach, is to acquire and develop the best talent possible, okay? That's my job. So because a kid says he's going to school X, oh, well, off limits. No, he's actually not. I'm going to continue to go after him. So it's a very, it makes for a very competitive, and it is kind of ugly. And especially in wrestling, where this kind of thing is still new to an extent, you know, with the new recruiting rules and when you can contact kids and how soon kids are, it's ugly and it's competitive because as you can see what Penn State did at NCAAs, it is having the big guns, having the best kids,
and
paramount.
You know, the biggest recruiting tool of all, you can say that this team was recruiting this guy and friends were like making him have second thoughts. You know what makes somebody have second thoughts? What Penn State did Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, talk about an incredible team performance. Wrestling your best in March at the end of the year. It's exactly what Penn State did. We saw them put 5 in the finals, go 5 for 5, and I got a lot of momentum tweets. A lot of momentum.
We've talked about that. We've talked about intangibles. We've talked about momentum. And
so Vincenzo Joseph won because he watched Nolf win. Come on, he won.
I mean, you gotta admit they were rolling.
They're, but that's like chicken. They're rolling because they're awesome.
Hold up, you said to me on press row there is a little something going on here.
No, I did not.
Oh my,
that's false. I didn't say there's something going on here.
You did not say maybe there's a little momentum.
No.
You didn't say that.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't. Kyle don't know. Kyle, I didn't say that.
There is
did
lies.
I, Kyle?
There is
I don't remember it now.
Kyle,
this is Flow Radio Live, not Flow Radio Lies.
That's good. Oh, that's a good little spin. That's a little spin-off I might do. Have my own little 20-minute show just to tell 30 lies. I don't think that's why. I think Penn State, they develop the best game plans. I think they develop guys at a higher level than everyone else. I don't know. That's what I saw. I saw Vincenzo Joseph out-wrestle Isaiah Martinez that entire match.
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to get into it, but, you know, a lot of opposing fan bases say, well, Cale has proven he can recruit.
Oh, geez.
Has he proven he can coach? Like, what are you talking
about? All right, so there's numerous dumb takes. So initially when Cale got to Penn State and they won their first title, The everyone's favorite thing was double recruiting class. They had Taylor and Matt Brown and Andrew Long, and in addition to having Quentin Wright and Ed Ruth and those guys, and that's why they won. So it was a double recruiting class then.
People were like, "Well, he can recruit, but can he coach?" And then people were even wouldn't even give Cale that much credit. But he'd be like, "Well, Penn State and Quentin Wright weren't really his recruits, so can he even recruit?"
Can he even recruit? Then he gets amazing recruiting classes and wins with those, and then it becomes, well, Cale's just a good recruiter. No, part of that. One,
Ed Ruth and David Taylor were freaks. When they're gone, you know, they'll come back down to earth.
Yeah, let's see what happens when Ruth. They have two monsters that just inflate everything. Well, let's see what happens when they leave. Boy, they'll be. Well, they did lose the next year, but that was kind of like self-inflicted. They redshirted the best team in the country, in my opinion. For this payoff that they're having now. So, but I think, so now it's like, well, they just get the best wrestlers. They just get the best guys.
Well, it's not hard when you get to all the best wrestlers.
You get all the number ones. I mean, Vincenzo Joseph was in this was losing to Isaiah White was in this Michael Kammerer, Freddie Stroker, Max Thompson tier. In high school, and it was like, wow, who's Penn State going to get? Who's it? And he's the freshman national champion. Okay, Vincenzo Joseph wasn't some transcendent, otherworldly. He was a very, very good, very, very good high school wrestler.
Yeah.
But if you just go back and watch who's number one in 2014, go back and watch his high school footage. Watch him at Fargo get picked apart by Isaiah White. Even watch Nolf, you know, in the strides that he's made. Zane Rutherford, the perfect example is this. Zane Rutherford and Anthony Ashnault were relative peers in high school. They went back and forth. They went back and forth. For a long time, and Zane, I think, ultimately had the slight edge, but they were very, very close in terms of how good they were.
You can say
One went to a good program. Rutgers is a good program with good coaches, good partners, good situation, and Anthony Ashnault has been good. He's a three-time All-American, good wrestler. Penn State takes you to a transcendent level. It takes you from good to uber elite. And that's what happened with Zane, and that's what's going on at Penn State.
I just looked up when I was doing my By the Numbers article and looking up Fargo participation. Their senior year, Zane was like a three-period winner over Zane Richards, like 0-1, 1-0, 1-0. Like, you know. Zane Richards is a good 33-pounder.
Good wrestler.
And Zane Rutherford is a transcendent 49. Close matches with... So you can say that these Penn State gets these number ones. They elevate them. There's no reason. No, Jason Nolf, when Jason Nolf, as a senior, beat Joey McKenna, who's number one, that was a thing going in, right? Like, oh, Nolf McKenna, good match. And, you know, these guys are...
McKenna got the first takedown.
These guys are on a tier together. Joey McKenna, great wrestler. Jason Nolf, Hodge candidate.
Right. You know, Bo Nickel, his true freshman year, lost to Andy McCulley. Okay, guys? Like, there's some serious freaky development going on there. And I know, I don't care what Penn State does or how they do it. The point is, they get their guys to wrestle better than anyone else. And I think a lot of coaches are scratching their heads and wondering how they do it, what they're doing. The fact of the matter is,
Vincenzo Joseph, as good as we all thought Vincenzo Joseph was, or he's not supposed to beat two-time national champ Isaiah Martinez.
No,
I mean, he might not be supposed to beat Daniel Lewis or Logan Massa.
Right, but he did. So I think there's a lot of bad takes out there about Cal. Soon it's gonna here's the shift. I'm gonna predict where the bad take shift is going. Okay. So right now, you basically have to concede that they're the best developers of talent and recruiters right now. Okay. So you have to accept that at this point. There is not another program that develops guys as well as Penn State. It's inarguable. So now it's gonna shift to, well, they can't get guys over the top on the senior level. That's the last thing that people are hanging on to. Ohio State is the best at developing senior level athletes. So that is like the last island you can live on to be anti Penn State.
It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
I mean, it was ridiculous when they said, we don't know if Cale can recruit. We don't. And then it went from, well, he can recruit, he can't coach. And then now they have no, they can't even say that. So he can recruit and can he coach, but can he get over the top of the senior level? First of all, that is very, I mean, Nebraska puts as many on the world team as just about anybody. Ohio State, right? There's Olympians in their room. Kale, Varner, Molinaro, you know.
The Japanese guy.
Frank Gomez.
Yeah, Aguchi, yeah.
So that's...
No.
Yes. So, but one thing, another funny thing is, and we couldn't hear it. So there's this thing going on with fun. Can we talk about fun?
Oh my gosh, I'm about to vomit.
There's this thing going on about fun, but it's funny. So a few years ago, Cale and Penn State had this thing about, you know, we have fun in this program. And it became like a message board legend. Like, oh yeah, they win because of fun. And everybody chuckled and everybody laughed. And like, oh yeah, the secret to success is fun. If we just play other fan bases, if we just play dodgeball, we'll be will be successful too. And apparently, we can't hear it because we're not watching the ESPN broadcast. But apparently on ESPN, they kept referring to it. And people in the stands referred to it. And the announcers referred to it. I want to tell you something. There is something to it. And if you're gonna dismiss it, it's going to be at your own peril. Because you take it as a lot of people take it as a punchline. There is something to be said for it. And I'll say this. Name a warrior. We think of wrestling as this hard-nosed focus, intensity, bleed, you know, John Reeder with his head wrapped and blood coming out, and the Tony Ramos stare down. Name a Penn State wrestler that's a warrior.
Zane.
All right, name another one.
Nico.
And that's about all you got.
What do you mean? Just like pit bull types?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not the Ironside Metcalfs. I don't know. These guys that'll just break you. I mean, they're fluid. They cut. What do you want to say? They cut less weight, probably. They're less beat up. They're more fluid. There's something to be said for it. I don't know exactly what it is, but for everybody else to just scoff at it, there's something to it.
Yeah. Anyone scoffing. So, and it's Yoni Mitsu. Is the name of the silver. Rei Higuchi, he was just there, dude, at NCAAs. He wasn't, you're confused, bro. Bracky's confused. We're going to fight. Right. We're going to fight soon after.
That's Penn State Saturday night.
Mm. So where do we go from here?
Well, let's run it back. You want to start?
Yeah.
You want to start let's at go. 25 maybe?
It's a nice goldenrod there, brackets.
Yeah, the yellow ones made final, I think.
Yeah. I didn't snag a copy.
All right, so at 125, the big news really...
Gilman.
Early was Mueller beating Dance in the quarters, and then in the next round it was Gilman beating or Cruz beating Gilman. And I'll say about Cruz beating Gilman, that was 2 takedowns to 0.
Quick number crunch there by Willie.
Well, it was... I mean, right, you don't expect a takedown ratio in any Thomas Gilman match to be 2-0 in the opposite.
Yeah, I know. That's true, but... This is what I've been saying since November about Gilman. Everyone thinks he's this Metcalfian destroyer of worlds, point scoring machine. The guy wrestles very, very tight against elite guys.
It's true against average guys. It's true against average guys. It's true against average. It's not against elite, right?
But everyone wanted to put him on this Zane tier. I was like, no. Gilman doesn't do this. In fact, he clams up a little bit. He doesn't attack as much against the best guys. So it's not a huge – I mean, I was certainly surprised that he lost to Darian Cruz. But he wrestles tight against the best guys. And Darian Cruz is the best guy at 125 this year. Crazy. Would never have thought. I wrote him off. And we said – you know what the interesting thing is about this, Willie? And this goes back to something I think we need to talk about. When Penn State waited till the ninth hour to say Soriano's out, when it was known before that he was out.
We could talk about that. Might be a different show.
I'll get there. So when they did that, everyone said, wow, Cruz gets hosed in this.
Yeah.
Cruz should be opposite Gilman. But they waited, and maybe they waited to hurt Oklahoma State and Nick Piccinini because he would have went down bottom side mm-hmm. as well. So that maybe there was gamesmanship. Maybe they just waited to the last second to pray for a miracle. Either way, they thought, and we thought, man, this kills Cruz, mm-hmm. right? And not really, apparently, because Cruz just beats Gilman, then beats Lezak, and is the NCAA champion.
And Lezak was – so Darian's loss is this year with a Suriano, and the other one was to Lezak?
Yeah. Got majored by Lezak.
I don't know if he got majored by...
He got majored.
Suriano.
8-0. No. I don't think so.
But it was one-sided. So, Darian with a great tournament. I mean, Darian's... His high school career was incredible, you know, and he had a fantastic year this year. What'd you make? Mueller turns the tables on Dance. I think Dance owned him in the ACC final, right? Or semi?
Well, that was Sean Fawes. He wrestled in the ACC final. Because Falls upset Mueller.
Yeah.
So they only wrestled once and it was pretty close, as I recall. So it was a little bit surprising, for sure. But, you know, one reason I was skeptical about Dance is we've seen him struggle, you know, at NCAAs the last 2 years. He just hasn't been his best at that moment.
All right. The story of 133 is Corey Clark, obviously your national champion, wow. But even more impressive is that he did it with a bum shoulder and the path that he had, right?
Path stunk.
Micic and Tomasello.
And then Seth Gross.
So Clark beat the second place, the third place, and the fourth place.
And he had an All-American in round one. He would have had Bracky and I were talking about this. He would have had an All-American in every single round if Earl Hall hadn't lost to Pat Darcy. He would have went Schramm All-American, Hall All-American, Micic, who was ultimately an All-American, NATO national champion, Seth Gross All-American, to win a title.
Yeah.
And you know what? The guy just, he found ways to win the match. You know, the Tomasello win was, you know, a product of Tomasello's, I don't know what you want. If you could say it's aggression, maybe, but maybe Clark put enough pressure that forced him into attacks and created positions where Clark could get to that Merkel position twice. But you can't take anything away from the guy. The guy won, one hurt, found a way to win. He went under Seth Gross bravely and really was not threatened, you know, to the point that I think Corey Clark ended with the riding time advantage against Seth Gross. And he got away from him twice, I believe, because he gave up the first takedown.
Solid.
Got away, went under, got away.
Yeah, yeah.
So Corey Clark.
That was the story. Cade Brock had lopsided losses to Gross and then Micic and came back for fifth. Tomasello over Micic for third. Excellent bracket. Excellent bracket.
Great way.
So the guys that leave here, Zane leaves, Zane Richards graduates, Clark graduates, and Montoya graduates.
Yep.
So
different weight.
Yep. So 141, Christian said it forever. He's done betting against Dean Heil.
Done
betting against Dean Heil, and it's not always pretty. And starting in round one, it wasn't pretty, right? It was a 6-5 win, or 6-5 win over Zacherl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dean Heil went the entire tournament without a bonus. His largest margin of victory was 9-5 over Jared Prince. George DiCamillo beating Bryce Meredith in the semis.
Yeah, that was one of the best matches I saw of the tournament and of the bracket. You know, they had a little history there because they both used Wrestle 33, and Meredith was at NC State. And DiCamillo had a pin and major decision over him during that time. So to see him get over the hump and make the finals was cool. Knowing George a little bit and having, being from Virginia, I've been there multiple times, and knowing how hard that kid trains and like the injury adversity he went through his sophomore year.
Yeah.
To come back.
Yeah, it was really nice to see a guy blood round loss, and then he wins. He wins his quarter, and he locked it up, and then he took it a step further and made the final. So, good for DCAM to go out with a great performance and All American honors. Other stuff, Ironman had a great tournament. He lost to Heil on the front side 6-5, and then beat Kolodzic, beat Meredith, beat McKenna.
Yeah, it was an amazing run by Jaden Ironman. And you know, someone I was really high coming into the year, cooled on slightly with the weight change.
I think
and
everybody
the
was.
General struggles, but man, the kid put it all together. He's going to be a really good one. And 141 is just going to be a bear next year. And think about the guys. Bracky, you and I were talking about this. Who else coming out of redshirt? I mean, I know, well, Keyshawn Hayes will be back at 41.
Yanni.
Man, well, we don't know that. You don't know what weight Yanni's going, first of all, and you don't know for sure if he's going to wrestle right away. Even though
I talked to his family last night. He's going 41.
Right away.
I mean, that's what I'm told. I don't know. He gets in the room, and Rob Cole has other designs, but the family told me last night 41. All right. And starting. And right to Cornell, not TC3.
Who else was coming out, though?
Kanan Store is a big one.
Kanan Store. Kanan
Store.
Freakazoid. There's going to be, like...
Freakazoid.
There's going to be monsters in the round of 16 that go out. Joey McKenna... Nick Lee. Everyone figures, and he's not a guarantee either, but everyone figures he's going to go right away.
Yeah.
As Penn State probably positioned to break the scoring record.
I mean, here's... Penn State has a decision to make because do they use Nick Lee right away? They look at the dynamics of the team, and who else do you put at 41, right? I mean, they don't have really anybody else, but at the same time, they're in no threat to lose a title, so maybe you redshirt them and save them for later, save them for future years when the team race is going to be good. But then
you run into a logjam.
But back to the other way, you could set the record. I don't know if they care about that, but.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? For sure they do.
Can we talk about that for a second? Somebody got to run the numbers. There's scoring differences between the way the old scoring record was kept and what the scoring system is now. I guess we can get into that another time.
Yeah, we can do that another time. I think basically the gist of it is you used to get extra points just for being in the tournament.
You did, but you also got less points for like 7th, 8th. That's what I heard. I don't know. I didn't look at it.
Okay. Sometimes
you just got to look at it. All right. 49. Zane Train.
Yes.
Storm through. Tech. Fall. Tech. Le'Veon Mays comes through the other half. The news.
His name is LaVon.
LaVon. The news early was Ken Theobald taking out second seed to Anthony Colica.
Yeah. I didn't think Colica looked good at Big 12, especially in the finals. I thought something was up, and he didn't look good. I mean, and that's the thing, man, is he looked amazing all season long. Noticed it at Big 12s, and then at NCAA, he's just not the same dude. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's injury, fatigue, whatever, but it wasn't the same Anthony Colica. He finishes a one-time AA, and the Theobald was another guy coming into the year. This happened with several guys.
Yeah.
I was super high on coming into the year.
Me too.
And then I'm like, oh no. Sold my sock. Or not sold it, but I'm like, he's not that guy.
Super high. Then you went back and you're like, he didn't really live up to what I thought. And then boom.
He placed. He beats the number 2 seed. And I knew that would be a tough matchup because he's really scrambly. As we saw, he won basically on his scrambling skills. And he's really tough from the top position.
So good performance by him. Good performance by Max Thompson, Solomon Chisco. That was the 5-6 match. Good performance by South Dakota State and Alex Kosher. Can we talk about, though, how good Brandon Sorensen is, and he's always stuck behind Zane. He's going to go like 2-3-2, you know?
He is 4-2, and he was third this year. And
he wants all the numbers, probably.
He probably won't get number one. Maybe. Unless, no, he's not going to. I mean, he's really, really good. And he's never going to win a title. And that's the way it is. He's a real talent. But
he is really good. 157, Nolf. You know, Nolf. So he goes.
How about Palacio?
Tech pin major. Major. So down below,
can we talk?
LaValle comes out of the bracket. Palacio in the big one, right? That was the big one of this bracket was Palacio Kemmer.
Palacio was electric the entire tournament. He did not want to wrestle on Saturday, though. Like, that was the most mailed-in performance. I mean, I think he admitted it. Like, I didn't want to wrestle today.
Well, he said some crazy stuff. He said,
well, he does
he
that.
He said, I didn't really want to. I didn't really want to wrestle on Saturday, you know, after he lost, but I had to do it for the people.
Yeah.
He said he had to do it for the
I believe he
thousands
said,
and thousands.
I think millions. I think he said the people's champ was humbled today.
People's champ was humbled today, but then he didn't wrestle. Like, he technically wrestled, but he didn't really wrestle. He got ridden for like 12 minutes.
Combined in the two
Joe Smith had like 5-something, and then
Michael Kemmer.
Michael Kemmer had like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
hey, my favorite part was when he said, we don't give him enough airtime on Flo.
He said we don't give him enough
airtime. The dude wrestles a combined 9 matches a year. And wants more love. What? He gets more love per match you wrestle, Dylan. Yeah. No one gets more love than you.
No one gets more love or airtime based on per match than Dylan Palacio. Dylan, I even offered you to have a podcast.
Yeah, not enough love.
Not enough love.
He needs stock options, Willie.
Dylan, I love you, buddy.
Awesome career.
Let's talk about that match, right? Lavallee. Now, Palacio gives him fit. Palacio gives everybody fits because you can't
finish
on him. Lavallee was able to, and that was the difference.
Well, the main difference was when he had him on his back for like a couple seconds, and they said not a near fall points. They're all out on near fall. I don't know how that
happened. That's definitely another top. Like, at some point, we're gonna have to just go over all the questionable calls at NCAAs. That's like a 20-minute segment.
There weren't so many, but just the ones that.
There were a lot of shaky ones.
Some of them just stick out more than others. I didn't think it was that bad.
So this year, I won't say that there were egregious calls. I would say that wrestling is getting to a level that's so good, or at least this year, that there's a lot of close calls. I wouldn't say they're bad calls. I would say they're calls you're like, I mean, to the extent that we looked at each other and we're like, Wasn't it too? Tough call to make.
Right. You know what? The thing that I'm just hoping so badly they address. And the problem is, I don't know what the solution is. But I am so tired of watching dudes get held on their back. And just because they have a foot right here, they're not being controlled. And they'll hang here and they do this for a couple seconds. And it's not two. You're basically pinned, but you're not. There's nothing for it.
I saw a call this weekend. Everybody remembers the Jordan Oliver, Logan Stieber position, right?
Right.
Head buried in the chest.
Right.
I saw that exact same position, but instead of the head being buried in the chest, it was under his butt. Too.
Well, they changed that rule, Willie. I tell you this every time.
I don't care if they changed the rule. It wasn't the same position. If it was the same position and you said they changed the rule, I would say, no kidding. This dude's head was under his butt. I mean, they don't call it two when you're coming out the back door.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird. So he's like, well, you should pull that match up.
I think it was Casper and Nevels. I don't know. All right, 165.
No, it wasn't.
165. Isaiah Martinez, two-time national champ, looking to stay perfect. Vincenzo Joseph had other designs. He beat Daniel Lewis, 6'5". Logan Massa, 5'4" in the semis, and then double overs, inside trip.
Unreal.
Got it done.
Place was absolutely unglued. Bananas.
I think a lot of people, including myself, saw Chenzo and was like, this is a guy who will grow throughout the season. You'll see him jump levels.
For sure.
But nobody saw that coming.
No.
I said before the match, at the end of Friday night, I said, you know, Chento has had close matches with him. I think this one's going to be the closest. Still didn't expect that. Certainly didn't expect the fall. But without the fall, he was winning the match. He's winning.
That was a 6-point move, and he was winning at that point anyways. I thought he challenged Aymar where Aymar doesn't get challenged, which is physicality and making almost a fight of it. I'll say, to your point, you talked about who are the grinders. Vincenzo Joseph brawls and sticks and fights and can hand fight hard and is a really, really strong wrestler. So I think that was and it was somewhat true in their first meeting, but I thought he upped his level of physicality and just let Aymar know he was there to fight too. And I think that's why he won. He won because of, wrestling moves and his skill. But, and he's fearless. He's fearless. And I think that's one thing that serves Vincenzo well, is he's not afraid in any position.
Oh, no. He's always been like that. Just a scrapper. Just let's go. Let's mix it up. I'm not sitting around and like strategizing or patty caking. You know what's really funny about that match? Go back and watch it. Aymar tries an overcollar shuck.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Vincenzo an idea. He tries an overcollar shuck, doesn't work. Immediately, Chenzo hits it and scores. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So go back and watch that. But what a good run by Vincenzo Joseph. Chandler Rogers, 5th. Chad Walsh, 7th. Massa over Jordan for 3rd.
Yeah, Massa beats Jordan 4 times this year.
And the last one was not
close. He smashed him. is
11-2.
Really ugly. Logan Mass is unbelievable.
All right, Hall, 174. Hall.
Oh my gosh.
We
have to talk about that semi right now.
Well, okay, yeah, of course we will. But let's also talk about, I think the first litmus test for me, I was not convinced. I was not, like, convinced that he was going to beat Epperly. I thought that was a toss-up match.
Yeah.
Did you? What did you think going in?
I thought Mark would win that.
You thought Mark would win that? Yeah. All right, so he does win that, actually, by major 10-2, and then the headgear pull thingy.
So, I'm sure everyone's seen it. Hopefully you have. The headgear pull situation where Zahid's right hand is around the headgear and he fires off a sweep and that his hand gets caught. Is it intentional, unintentional? Regardless of intent, it resulted and it benefited him and it led to a takedown. And I don't know. The ideal solution in that situation to me, and I don't know if there's an opportunity for an official to make this determination, is to say, okay, wipe the takedown, but don't assess a penalty point. I don't know if they have that option because it was inadvertent. But you can't say for sure it was inadvertent. You know, there's other examples.
Can you say it was on purpose? Or does it matter?
You can't say either way. And does it matter?
I mean, you grab a face mask. They used to be a 5 or 15. Did you do it too hard? Did you do it on purpose?
Did the head turn?
You know, ultimately they said, if you did it, you did it. It affected the play.
Right, right.
I guess
the question is, could you say, well, we'll obviously wipe the takedown, but no penalty assessed. A coach texted me that they do have that opportunity. I'm dubious of that. I've never heard of that.
Glad you're dubious today. It is a Wednesday. What I think, what you have to talk about, I know you've brought it up in other venues and other areas, but what you have to talk about is that it was said that people had seen on tape that he'd do this before. Now, I talked to Pendleton afterwards. He was like, pretty much said, like, didn't even allude to that, to the fact. Basically, no. Not, no, we don't do that. So he doesn't do that. Has he done it before? Yes. But that's, you know, Pendleton, I love you, but that's what you're going to say, right? So I don't know.
He's done. Well, go watch his Iron Man final. That's how he won against Brock Irvin.
That was 17 years ago. Listen, 126 pounds.
Listen, all right. Let me give you something.
Anything in there in the last 5 years?
I'll give you this. As soon as it happens, I walk down. Okay, to go to the restroom. Okay, between matches.
You had to go. Number one or number two?
There was a long break in between. Okay.
What did you have to go?
Shut, dude. Chill. Can you not be nine? So I go. No one's laughing, as you can see. No one's laughing.
Ryan Holmes is cracking up. I'm sorry that.
All right. So I go and I walk by. There's all these coaches in the tunnel. And I go by a coach. And he's like, We were ready, and I'm not going to say who it was. He's like, we were ready to do that same challenge. We had Zahid scouted. He has done this all year long, and it wasn't going to happen to us either. We were ready to challenge, and we were not going to be a victim of that either. This is a coach that does his job, that watches film, and said, Zahid does this. This is a pattern.
Yeah.
So and that's all I need to hear. From that coach, and if everyone knew who that was, they would say, this is
an honest... Well, I know who it was, and I respect the ton out of him. I'm not saying that he's wrong. What I'm saying is, I would like to see it.
Okay.
I want to see the matches that he did it in.
Well, I've seen it before, and then to have that verified...
You've seen it before in 1992.
No, I've seen... Listen. All right, fine. He doesn't do... I mean,
I'm not saying he does it. I'm saying, give me something other than 126 pound match in Iron Man finals 10 years ago.
It was not that long. It was 4 years ago. Not that long ago.
Okay.
10 years ago. It wasn't a roller final. Jeez. So what do you think? Is that it? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I didn't like to see the match end that way.
I just want to know who's better.
I want to know who's better, too.
I'm sorry. That B.
No, it was a P. It was
better. I said better, and it sent a launch. There was a big bogey that just missed your ear there.
I saw it. It went right past.
I'm sorry about the spit. I know you want the news, not the weather. But my point is,
we want to know who's better.
Who's better?
We kind of wanted that match for a long time, and then we get it, and it's still kind of, I mean, Mark Hall got his hand raised, but it's still kind of like we want to see that done over.
Right, just because, you know, and you can point to that late takedown, but believe me, the match happens completely different. He's not losing. He's not taking, he's not looking for a throw at that point in the match if they're tied.
Now, you know, looking forward, some people had, you know, you always have to speculate if Zahid's going up. But I guess apparently he said in a post-match interview, he said, you know, Mark's good wrestler. I look forward to battling him for the next few years.
Right. And he can say that, but I think Arizona State's going to need to move him up. I think.
You know what, though? I mean, I don't want to jump into projected lineups.
It would behoove them.
Right after NCAA Saturday night, we have early flights, so we don't go out and have beers or anything. We're like, just go back, have something to eat. And me and Kyle, after the NCAA tournament, Kyle, what we do? Every team in the country, almost.
Till like 2 in the morning.
We just came up with all their, did all their lineups for next year. And looking at Arizona State's, I get that you want to squeeze Surtis in there, but I think it messes everything up. I mean, I think you put Shields at a weight he's not supposed to be at. I don't think Anthony Valencia has to be at 74. I don't think Zahid has to be at 84. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so.
You're doing all that just to get Surtis in there.
No, what you're doing it to get Shields in. I mean, Surtis
ain't beating Shields. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy won national a couple years ago. Then he got third.
Okay. I will pick Shields right now.
Right now, maybe. I mean, Shields is coming off of, you know, he's peaked. Surtis was off this year, basically. You'll take Surtis over Shields?
No.
Shields over Surtis? Yeah. All right. Bet.
All right, but you didn't even talk about the bow match.
Speaking of, all right, so Mark's first title, two very, I guess you could call them controversial. I don't know what you call it, but highly discussed moments. You got the headgear pool was Heat, and you've got Review Gate, which Tom Ryan tweeted about with in the Bo Jordan match.
You know, you see stuff like this. It's almost not fair to Mark either.
No.
Like we saw with DeSanto a couple weeks ago. DeSanto beat Spencer Lee. Spencer Lee's injured. It almost hurts that performance. Mark Hall wins this controversial semi. There's a controversial call in the finals. Mark Hall is a true freshman national champ. But there were some questions about it, you know. But ultimately, Austin DeSanto is a state champ this year. Mark Hall is national champ.
Right. So the call in the Bo Jordan match, and we've seen, it's interesting that we've seen Mark countered like this before.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets squished underneath, and guys can just like, they almost like crossface and kind of run behind and set him on his hip there. And they basically, Bo had done that. He set on his hip, but Mark has this hand up.
Yeah.
Between, you know, right on the leg, like a switch position.
Yeah.
But he's set on his hip. It's a really weird position. And he comes out on top for two. And so is it a takedown and reversal, or is it just a takedown
now,
for Hall?
Let me ask you this. One, just a side note. I wonder if calls are ever made or not made based on an official knowing the wrestler and what they do. Like if you ever saw Mark there before, maybe that official's like, yeah, he does this. Anyway,
yeah,
that's one thing. But another thing that's very interesting to me, and I think this had a lot to do with it.
Yeah,
they call it two. They call it two for Mark Hall. Right? No two for Bo, two for Mark Hall. They go back and review it. Now, what really maybe could have been changed is that it would be two and two. Two takedown, two reversal.
However.
However, because we have these rules of reversing calls, for the referee to do that, he would have had to say to Bo, action stops there, the score is 2-0 Bo. Now, a referee might be inclined to say the real call, the right call, is 2-2. The score is 2-2. Mark Hall's on top. Let's restart. But he didn't have the option to do that. His only option was to say, it's 2-0, Bo Jordan, he's on top.
Right, right. So that ultimately could have been, I mean, that can't be the reason why. It could have been the reason why, but it can't be. You know what I'm saying?
It can't be. But if you think they don't take that into consideration, I've seen calls this year, reviews this year, absolutely determined because of the because there's no continuation. Absolutely.
Right.
And I'm confident that there was a degree that played in that.
Okay. So then that prompts, but ultimately, Bo is pursuing, shooting, gets a stall warning, shoots, and the second warning doesn't come. And he wins, and he gets overextended and gets taken down at the end. So then there's this stall warning dynamic as well. Like, should Mark have been hit again? And the official, you know, probably didn't want to get any more involved than he already was. But, a very controversial way to win your first title, but daggone it, Mark Hall is the man.
Well, when you're a true freshman, I'd take that title any way I can get it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's not a
17th ever.
True freshman.
17th ever true freshman. Now, we saw one just last year with Miles Martin, and then I don't know.
2 years ago, 2 years before that, Jaden was a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Snyder was nearly a true freshman national champion until the Gadsden came.
Yeah, so we're kind of spoiled. We've seen some very recently, but it's a rare feat.
It's rare. It's tough to do. But I think, and the thing is about Mark, it's very reasonable that he was just the best guy, too.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, he's probably the best. He probably was the best guy.
Yeah.
You know, he found ways to get it done. So hats off to Mark, who had I don't know if tumultuous is the word. Is tumultuous the word? But a very interesting first year. An eventful first year. Why are you making this face?
Did Mark Hall turn heel?
Oh.
Did Mark Hall?
He may have.
Guys, Holmes, Bracky.
Yes.
Did Mark Hall turn heel?
Yeah, I mean, his one of his first tweets after winning was at Imar.
Oh!
So he kind of threw some shade there. And then
all the shade.
He's throwing a lot of shade.
Look at last night.
And then he had this meme mug where he's like.
Yeah, I mean.
He's throwing a lot of shade and I love it.
Oh, I don't not love it.
Stater's going to state?
Stater's going to state.
When Gavin committed last night, he said Stater's going to state. That's a kind of a reference to Terry Hader's going to hate. He said that one to Imar. Wrestling's wrestling, bud.
He did. That was salt and wound there. Holy cow.
Well, I mean you're going to remember that, right? When Mark Hall,
yes.
Right? And this is the thing. I think there's some people saying, oh, well, Mark Hall's being, you know, he's being a little brash, right? Well,
there's a lot of chirping.
He shut up for a while, right? I mean, there's reasons to do that.
Penn State went off the grid on social media after the if you're on social media after the Luke Gardner thing.
After the Luke Gardner, right?
They were like,
well,
let's
be clear. Luke Gardner was off his chain, off his rocker. Mark Hall is not off his rocker. Mark Hall's just saying how it is, right? And if you like, I don't know why. I guess there's some people that are like, well, I don't like how Mark's behaving. Listen, Mark Hall gets pulled out of red shirt, and everybody was talking about being pulled out of red shirt for 2 months. Mark Hall gets pulled out of red shirt, loses to Alex Meyer. Imar, a star in the sport, tweets, I said it before, I'll say it again, wrestling at this level is different.
Yeah.
Right? You don't think that sticks in the back of Mark Hall's mind? Mark Hall goes out there, wins a national title, sees his teammate pin Imar. You don't think he's going to?
Oh.
And he didn't go over the line. All he said was, wrestling's wrestling, bud.
Oh.
So.
It's good to be
king.
I love
it. He's classy about it, but he's forward about it. It's great. Okay, 184, Bo Nickel over Gabe Dean. Thoughts on that? I was very, very open about I had Dean all day.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
I can say this. I don't think that what I saw was Dean not as physical. Dean could not move Nickel around the way Dean moves everybody else around.
No. I thought that. I mean, he got that first initial takedown. I mean, he finished quick and clean how you have to finish against Bo Nickel. But then I think Nickel is more athletic than Bo, and I think he can move really well. And I think though Bo has the appearance like he's a twig, he's a tall, skinny guy.
He's got leverage strength.
He's clearly pretty strong. He's not probably as strong as Gabe Dean, but in terms of flexibility, in terms of scrambling, and look, you know, I thought I picked Nickel. Thought Nickel would win. Nickel won, but.
Congrats to you.
But they're relative equals. It was one takedown apiece, right?
It was really a great match. There was a lot of non-takedowns on the edge, that one in particular. I could watch those guys go all day. I wish we got to see it again. But Gabe Dean, what a tremendous career, man.
Unbelievable. And
3-1-1-2. You kidding me?
Do you know, I think about this, Willie. How close Gabe Dean is to being a four-timer. People don't realize this because he got third as a freshman.
Yeah.
Go back and watch his freshman year match with Ed Ruth at NCAAs.
It was nothing but a flash takedown.
Ed got a takedown on basically a rear standing position where I think Dean hit like a standing Gramby.
Yeah.
And they just went flash two.
Uh-huh.
That was the only takedown of the match. And Ruth worked Shep Talk, as I believe Dean would have. Not worked, but beat him bad. I think Dean beats Shep Talk there. Then Dean wins.
Although Shep Talk beat him early in the year.
I don't think that's true.
That is true.
I'll look that up.
You shouldn't do it right now.
I guess you're right, but
I'm almost like 80% sure that Shep Talk beat Dean that year.
Maybe
Dean was?
Shep Talk. That doesn't mean they wrestled.
Yeah, I think they wrestled somewhere. Anyway, Bo Nickel, listen, sophomore. Penn State had a freshman and a sophomore beat two-time defending champions.
Right.
Insane. Miles Martin. Okay, so one of the biggest things early was Emory Parker beating Miles Martin, and it wasn't close. But a lot of heart. Miles showed a lot of heart wrestling back in that blood round against Decal. Who Decal gave Dean everything he. And everything he could handle.
Oh, my gosh.
Deckow's a house, right?
Deckow's a beast, and he didn't place. He lost to two national champions.
Well, that's what – when Miles loses, and the same thing happened when Kalika lost. You know, when a stud like that loses early, you immediately go to your brackets and you say, oh, who falls to who? And Deckow – Miles loses, and you're like, holy cow. It's going to be a Decal-Miles blood round match. That's brutal. One of those guys aren't going to place. And really gritty 3-2 OT win for Miles Martin.
Great. Well, did you mention the penalty point in that match?
What was the penalty point?
In the Martin-Decal match, Martin, I guess, slapped his face. I mean, not slapped his face, but like, hands to the face or something like that, and they just gave Decal.
They gave Decal one.
It changed the whole match. It was.
I know, but
It was the same ref in the Bo Jordan Mark Hall match.
What I'm saying is, I don't.
That was dumb.
There was a lot of heart by Miles in that match.
Oh, guts! I mean, I'm just telling you right now, he was in a hole over a ticky tack point.
Yeah.
And he found a way to win a match against a guy that worked him at Midlands.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Martin, super tough dude.
Yeah. So Emory Parker over Miles. That's about it. Dudley over Brooks for third. 197, Jaden's World.
Legend.
You know what, Christian? What I was struck by most is how intelligent Jaden wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was coached up right and they scouted him right, but you know, Jaden's not just an athletic freak. Jaden's obviously a student of the sport. Cause he did not let far into those positions where it was even a thing.
Right. Everything, and how you finish on Brett Favre, you get to his legs, you finish high. You don't let it get on the mat. That's how you got taken down at the Southern Scuffle. And it was three takedowns, picked them apart, no problem. Farr never got a whiff. He got a whiff at the Scuffle.
Uh-huh.
They locked that down. Jaden locked that down. It was not a match at any point in time. And I feel like Jaden, his title is like just kind of lost in this Penn State shuffle. This dude is a legend.
I know.
That's He's a three-time national champion.
That's what I was going to bring up.
He's amazing.
You talk about Gabe Dean, you know, seniors that have gone out. Gabe Dean, 3-1-1-2. Corey Clark, 2-2-1. Jaden, you know? I mean, talk his legendary career. I mean, they pull him out of redshirt as a true freshman. He wins the title.
Yeah. So, Sheptalk beat Dean 5-3. Grapple at the Garden.
Yeah.
Correct you are, sir.
Correct I am. Far good
career. Maybe Sheptalk would have beat him.
Far.
Styles make fights.
There's a lot of guys in and this is another article I was going to think about doing. Big school, small school. Mm-hmm. See what the All-Americans in high school, if they wrestle double A, triple A, small school, big school. There's a lot of good guys in Minnesota. Why are you laughing at me?
Kyle Brackey just gave me the finger.
I was stretching.
Kyle's definitely stretching.
Can you do that
stretching.
On air? He just randomly. Kyle. No, don't give the finger.
I was stretching, guys. You're being sensitive.
I can't believe how much he lies.
So, but my point is, before I was rudely interrupted by
I'm sorry.
Hand gestures.
I'm sorry. You gave me the finger. I mean,
there's a lot of good kids in Minnesota that have come up through these little dinky programs. Like, that have, like, eight names attached to them, or, like, a county high school. It's interesting. Brett Farr, I think, from one of those schools. Cullen Moore, future of the weight?
I suppose so, but Willie Miklas coming up, I think he could definitely challenge Cullen Moore. I think he's super athletic.
I talked to Willie. Well, I said hi to Willie Miklas. He's big.
He's really big. No, at the Scuffle, I was like, good Lord, because his season was done then, but he was there. I was like, Willie Miklas is enormous. Now, remember, he wrestled at
220.
At 220. He was a 96-kilo guy for juniors. I remember him wrestling Kyle Snyder, and he was big then. They, like, shrunk his body to get him at 84, and then you looked at him at 84, and you're like, oh, yeah, he looks like an 84-pounder. And then, poof, he's going to be plenty big. I mean, Colin Moore's not a big 97 in his own right. I think that's a great match, and I think – To say Colin Moore's not the future of the weight, I think you kind of have to say that. Because look at this guy's progression. I mean, have you ever seen a guy get this much better during the year? I mean, this much better. Brett Farr worked him, and then Brett Farr beat him. Then he beat Brett Farr, and then he lost to him later. But his progression is incredible, and I think he's just going to continue to improve. So Colin Moore probably the future of the weight, but Willie Miklas is definitely a very game potential contender.
All right, Kyle Snyder.
He had these cracked ribs, or I don't know if they're cracked. What do you say? Hurt, injured.
Problems with his ribs.
Hurt or injured ribs. But that first takedown against Medbury, that was like a shut it down moment.
This whole, oh my God.
Right? Are you with me?
That lift, and you could just, maybe you saw he's in that position and you're like, he's not going to do – is he going to do – and then
– it was like when Hogan lifted Andre the Giant.
You wanted to hear
it's like, oh, my gosh, he's doing it.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
But this way, pretty much chalk. The only – I mean, Conan Jennings came out of nowhere to make the
quarters. Conan the Barbarian. Put people on notice, Willie.
So, well, did he?
No, he beat Austin Schaefer.
He beat Austin Schaefer, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
So he didn't
– on notice.
He puts
– where's Jaconis? He can't.
Where is Jaconis?
Conan the Barbarian.
I don't know. But everybody was in the quarters. All top eight seeds were in the quarters except for Schaefer, who Jennings beat. Walt. You know what was an interesting? I mean, this was kind of went to plan. There's not really much to talk about except I thought that Hall beating Walls was a great match for third.
Walls should have won. My opinion, my super unbiased opinion.
It was a fun match.
It was a very fun match. I mean, I think, you know, Hall came out and got a takedown, you know, a high-level takedown. I thought Walls basically had one, and Hall ran out of bounds to not get taken down when Walls got the rear shame. But Hall found a way to win. He's just a sophomore, All-American.
That Gramby? He Gramby'd out of
sometimes he Grambies.
That was great.
He needs to learn to... not learn to. He needs to...
Pendleton, Christian's coming for your job. He's gonna teach Tanner Hall up.
No, I couldn't teach him anything. I'm just saying, I think he needs to hit a knee or have something more than just his high single if he wants to jump levels. But he's already he already placed really high, so maybe he's already there.
Snyder, another year back, Medbury graduates.
How about how Casper lost in the freaking match to Nevels? Like, I was all in on Nevels being better than Casper, and I don't know that I was right. Casper beat him outright in the initial match, which I believe was the quarter. But then Casper takes a shot in overtime against Nevels and, like, gets his eye smashed. Like, not by Nevels. I mean, I don't know if he ran to his knee or something, but Casper drops like a bag of hammers.
Yeah.
Okay? And then the way the rule works, which Nevels. I like this rule, but I didn't. So. I hated it here. It gave Nevels choice, and Nevels got an escape and sudden victory to win the match. And it was the most... I just wanted to watch those two wrestle more.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is dumb.
We didn't find out anything there.
No. So that was like one of those, we watch a heck of a lot of wrestling. I've never seen a sudden victory escape win a match.
Yeah. When that happened, I thought to myself, what if you're like Seth Gross and you have like a 1-point lead in overtime? What if you just get hurt on purpose so that they take down and you just ride them out?
Willie, if they have a 1-point lead and sudden victory, the match is over. What are you talking about?
Yeah, true. That wouldn't work.
But Seth.
That strategy would
work. Seth, if you ever get up one in sudden victory, Seth.
Take top.
Get injured and take top.
Yeah. Do that.
Good logic, wrong period.
Wrong period.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I know, but you could do it. You could do it in a third period. You could do it in any period.
Yeah, you get injured, but they're not. No, all right. If I'm Seth Gross,
you could do it in the third period. It's 4-3 in regulation.
Seth Gross, I get injured. Okay, the other guy gets choice. The other guy's not gonna take bottom.
I'm just saying. Okay, then you take neutral. Nothing happens.
We faked an injury.
There's no reason to do this.
Injury for
just for the chance.
This is not a loophole.
Just for the chance that he takes bottom.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Iowa's not going to be aware.
Did you see the choices this week of people taking?
Cade Brock chose bottom against Seth.
There
Gross.
Was people. Ethan Lezak chose bottom in the finals. Them. They took bottom.
Ethan Lezak chose bottom in the finals.
Well, a lot of people take bottom. I'm telling you. You could be up 4-3 in the third. Be like, you know what? I'm getting gassed on my feet. I'm a little tired.
Gas
I'm
from
great
bottom.
On top. I
gas them from bottom.
Time out. They take bottom. You ride them out. You guys laugh.
It's a stupid idea, but we're gonna move on.
It's not a stupid idea.
I move on to another point I'm gonna make, and we will have this clip tomorrow. We're going back to back, by the way. FRL.
Yeah.
It's 9:08. Jeez. I'm sorry, guys. All right. They're saying wrap it up. Well, we'll get there. But I have to say this. Thomas Gilman.
Bad joke in there.
Thomas Gilman said he gassed Lezak from bottom.
Congratulations. Congratulations on you and Thomas Gilman.
That's what happened. He gassed him from bottom. No. He didn't wear himself out. I wore him out. He was turning me and stuff. I made him work. Yeah. I wore him out from the bottom position.
Thomas Gilman came up with that theory after he heard you on FRL.
Thomas Gilman doesn't listen to FRL. He's reading war books or something.
Okay.
Psychological Warfare, The Art of War. That's what he's reading. He ain't listening to... Thomas Gilman does not listen to FRL. I'm almost positive.
I hope not.
I
think
Thomas Gilman's opinion over years were like, he was on the mat with Lezak and felt him die.
He felt him. He felt it, Willie.
Like the last breath.
When like a deer.
Kyle, do not tell me that you subscribe to that stupid theory, too. I thought there was a legion of one. I thought there was a legion of one human being that thought that you can gas somebody out from bottom.
So far, I've got Tony Ramos and Thomas Gilman both on board. And you're Willie Saylor.
I don't care. You got a whole.
Willie, you can gas from any position.
I don't care. So you, Ramos, Kyle Bradke, and Gilman all have a nation laughing at you, too.
No,
yes,
not.
You do. It's on every message board. It's a joke. It's a running joke now. Gasping from bottom.
Well, I can't wait to watch it happen over the years again.
Yeah, I mean, show me when it happens again.
Well, Christian Moody about did it to Lee Zack round one. So.
Yes.
Wait,
yes,
what's
he
the
did.
What's the common denominator here? I think it's Ethan Lee Zack.
Well, it's a strategy against Lee Zack, so his opponents better start doing it.
Lee Zack gets gassed, you know, walking to the bathroom. Jesus. Don't take that as evidence. Is there any evidence in a match in history where somebody gasses somebody out from bottom that doesn't involve Ethan Lee Zack?
Yes, I'm sure there are.
Can you find me another one?
I'm going to get Spay to do a map on this.
I think it was Lee Zack's MO in the finals to take bottom and gas Darian.
Lee Zack should have taken top.
You can't gas somebody from bottom. We'll be back tomorrow with other tidbits.
Play that outro music.
Play the outro.
Play us out.
Can you gas me from outro?
Listen, we thank you so much for tuning in to this very special edition of Pro Wrestling Radio Live, Gas from Bottom Edition. We're going to have more. We're going to have clinical studies done. We'll be back tomorrow at our regular time. We had to squeeze this in 8 o'clock. Thanks for getting up early. It's not that early, you bums. So I'm not going to apologize. You should get up and get to work. You should have.
Hey, Snyder might come on tomorrow. He's in Austin.
Brian Snyder, Willie's BFF, will come on. He'll talk about what? Hair products and training Jordan Burroughs?
He is beautiful.
Wow. There we go. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.